everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Kelly O Show. Today on the show, this is going to be another two-part episode. Kind of getting known for that, two-part episodes, but it is a kind of a groove for me. We've got Rachel King on the show today, and I am thrilled to have her because she's not only just a bundle of energy, but a new mom to an eight-month-old baby, and she's gotten herself back in great shape. So the first part of this interview, we're going to be talking about just that, her fitness journey, how she ended up getting back into better shape than she was before getting pregnant, after getting pregnant. And then she's going to share with us some of her business insights because the way that she got back into shape was using Beachbody workouts and Shakeology. And because of that, she ended up, you know, using this or diving into Beachbody, which is a network marketing company, to make money in addition to her corporate job. So I wanted to have her as one of the network marketing professionals that I would interview for the business series. So most of the second half of part two will be, there's still going to be a little bit of the fitness talk in there. And then we segue right into her providing clarity and detail on, you know, how she became interested in working with Beachbody as a business, as a coach, how she makes money from that, what were her hangups, how she got past that, and why she loves it so much. So you're really going to get a lot of fantastic insights from this woman. We talked about just everything from mindset, diet, what's important, how to get back to the basics, how if you're a new mom, you know, what are the most important things that you want to pay attention to when you're trying to lose weight, how to give yourself a break. And then you're going to hear some tremendous insights on how to be successful if you choose in a network marketing business. What are the do's and don'ts that are important that she's learned? And she really threw down some great truth bombs in this episode. So I know you're going to enjoy it. Please sit back and enjoy both parts of this two-part interview with Rachel King.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Kelly O Show. I have Rachel King here with me today, and I'm thrilled to have her on the show because we're going to do a two-part interview here. And the first part of the interview, we're going to talk about her fitness journey, and she is a new mom who has gotten in ridiculous shape after her baby. I can't wait for you to hear her tips and insights on that. And then the second half of the show, we're going to have her as part of our business series, where, as you guys know, I'm interviewing women of all kinds of business experience and with all kinds of business focuses. In other words, some of them have a side hustle. Some of them are founders of a company. Some of them are solopreneurs. Some of them are involved in network marketing companies. I'm interviewing all of these women so that those of you who would like to either leave a job or just make more money so that your stress can go down and your health can improve, you can learn from women who have been there, done that, and get exposed to things that might resonate with you and encourage you to say, that sounds right up my alley. I want to look at that. Or, hey, I might want to start a blog and you know, making money from a blog. I think I can do that. So we're going to have part one be fitness focused and part two be business focused. But Rachel, welcome to the show. I'm so pleased to have you. Are you ready to go?
I'm so ready. Thank you, Kelly, for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah. And for everybody that's listening, she has the cutest accent. It's ridiculous. She lives in Alabama, and we discussed before the show that I'm still going to be her friend and she can still be a guest, even though she's an Alabama fan. We've come to terms with our respective, but of course you're doing much better than Texas this year. I put up this thing that I got from my man. It was like because you know, Matthew McConaughey went to, UT. And so he's mm-hmm. a big Texas fan. And there's this meme that's going around and it shows him like all excited with the Hook'em Horns sign. And they're like, this is Texas fans when football season started. And then they show a picture of him from that. I can't think of the movie where he played the guy with HIV way back in the day. I can't think of
yes,
the
yes.
He's like really skinny and he's crying in the car. And they're like, this is Texas fans in November. We're all like,
oh gosh,
what is going on? Like every Saturday, I'm like, What universe are we in?
Have such hope and such promise, and then it's just disappointing.
It's amazing what college football does to you.
I know. It's insane.
I mean, it's so easy to like let it go with pro football for some reason and just go, oh, well, that's what happened with Dallas this week. But with it's so personal with college football.
It is. And my husband is the biggest anti-Alabama fan I've ever met in my life. So yeah, we have a lot of fun during football season.
Who does he root for?
He had two brothers that went to Mississippi State. So he pulls for them and he pulls for Auburn because Alabama and Auburn's huge rivalry here. So yeah, we said if we survived the first college football season with us dating, that we could survive anything. So
I remember when I first met my man, he was like, so we met in December, we're coming up on our 2-year anniversary, but I remember, you know, he asked, and at that time it had been years since I had watched football just regularly. I've always enjoyed it, but I had just not made it a focus as a single woman. I just wasn't going to sit at home by myself and watch football. It just wasn't what I wanted to do. And so I told him when we first got together, I'm like, look, I do love football, enjoy the game, and I'll start to watch it with you, but I'm just letting you know I'm also not that girl that's going to fake it. And if I'm not into it, like I'll end up going to TJ Maxx on Saturdays and you can watch football. And what happened is I became even more of a football fanatic now than I ever was.
it's contagious.
I remember that he said to me when we started, don't worry people, we're going to get into the interview in 2 seconds. But when we first started, he said to me, he's like, I don't know if you're ready for me during football season. Like now I know what he meant by that, but yeah, we're both diehard fans. So it's anyway, so let's get started, Rachel. For people that are on the show, I always, particularly if we're talking about fitness, weight loss and body after baby in this case, I always like to ask them, you know, when was it for you in your life, that you first got into, you know, fitness being an interest of you, you know, wanting to be fit, wanting to work out, wanting to be healthy. So when was that for you and why?
Okay. So I'm 31 now. So it's been about 10 years. When I was 21 years old, I was in college for my accounting degree and I was full-time college, full-time, working. I worked in an urgent care center as a receptionist during college and I worked weekends. So we ate, you know, tons of pizza and soft drinks, donuts, you know, just typical college, you know, and
the college I was, diet. Guaranteed exactly. To make you gain 20 pounds.
Exactly. So I did. And I'm short. I'm 5'2". And I had gotten up to about 165 pounds. And I was having, you know, really bad headaches. And I just kind of figured it was because I was stressed. I worked all the time. The days I didn't work, I was in school and doing homework and trying to fit in any sort of, you know, life, seeing my family and friends in any spare time I had. So I just figured the headaches were associated with stress. And I went to the doctor and they took my blood pressure and it was insanely high. And the doctor was like, we're going to have to put you on blood pressure medication. And I'm like, I'm only 21. And you know, she asked, she was like, well, is it, does it run in your family? It may be genetic. And of course, you know, it does run in my family, but that just wasn't good enough for me. You know, I'm like, I'm 21. I shouldn't already have high blood pressure. And I definitely don't want to be on a pill the rest of my life for something that I probably could have avoided. Because in the back of my mind, I knew that, you know, I was eating crap and I was a couch potato. And
can I just ask you a question? I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm just curious. First of all, you should know that I've interviewed quite a lot of women on the show who have had, and men actually, I think of Dr. Nick Delgado, and some of them, it's amazing how many people have presented with serious health issues like 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. So you're certainly not the only one. I'm sure you knew that. But I'm curious, when you went, like you say, you're 5'2", you were up to 165 pounds. My heaviest weight, I remember when I came back from Florida, I got up to 176 or 178 pounds, and I'm 5'5", so similar. Mm-hmm. You know, like I remember I had moved down to Pensacola, Florida in the middle of college to chase a boy, and then I moved home to finish college, and I got off the plane, and my mom's like, basically, she didn't say it this way because she doesn't swear, but she was like, WTF, what happened to my daughter? There's like another person on top of her. So I'm curious if when you went in there and she was seeing you for your health issues, did she say anything about your weight at all at that point?
She didn't. And that's what's wrong with modern medicine, I believe, because they want to give you pills. They don't want to address the problem.
Yeah.
And that's why I asked her, I'm like, and I wanted her to directly tell me, you know, do I need to lose weight? I asked that question and she said, well, you can try, but it's probably just your genetics. And I will say this, that doctor was overweight too, and I haven't been back to see her since then.
Isn't that fascinating? And I just was thinking about this the other day. For some reason it came up and I'm like, isn't it ironic that when you go to a hospital or even to many doctor's offices, don't want to make a sweeping generalization, but quite often you will see some of the most unhealthy looking, very overweight, tired, and we all know why they're not getting sleep, but just, it's weird that this is, their passion is to help fix people, but they're some of the most unhealthy people on the planet based on their sleep and lifestyle and what they eat. And they're, like you said, the last ones that are going to say, let's talk about lifestyle. Let's find the origin of the problem. And you know, I'm going to link when this show is live, because thinking of you at 5'2 and 165 pounds, I hope I'm not making you feel bad.
No.
I admitted my highest weight. And, but I'm thinking of Scott Thompson, who I interviewed, and his interview is not live, but he was talking about how when he lost fat and gained a bunch of muscle, he went into his doctor's office and his doctor was like, now he was the picture of health. He was CrossFit, right? So he'd gained a lot of muscle, and was very lean. And his doctor's like, well, you're clinically obese. So his doctor was saying something to him. And he was very fit. And your doctor's like, it's not a problem. Isn't that interesting?
Okay. It is. It is. And I think I've never lived anywhere but the South. So I can't, you know, I can't make assumptions for anywhere else. But I do think it is worse here. Just because we eat for everything. You know, we get together after church on Sundays and get together for birthdays and anniversaries. And, you know, it's just, we eat all the time. We eat fried food. And
sweet tea.
For college football games.
The other thing, Rachel, is by the end of this conversation, I will have my Pensacola accent back. And I will be talking about, oh, y'all need to come on up here. Are you fixing to go over to church afterwards? Meet me at the deli? Come on, let's have some sweet tea and just talk. I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying I love Southern accents and mine will come back. I guarantee.
That's hilarious. But I mean, it's crazy. Like, and also, I guess it's not their fault, but when doctors go to college, they don't have the education for nutrition. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't spend a lot of time in that area. So I guess technically it's not their fault, but something needs to change. I mean, our country is extremely obese and we're raising a generation of obese children. And it breaks my heart when I see these kids that they don't know any better. They're just eating what their parents are giving them and they're already obese and they're going to have to fight that battle forever. They've started off that way and they're going to have to fight it until they get, you know, old enough to make you know, healthy decisions on their own. And then they may never, because that's not what they were taught. And it's just, it's so sad to see.
Did you see that documentary? I think it's called Fed Up. Did you see that on Amazon?
I didn't.
With Katie?
I didn't.
Oh my God. I'm going to link up to it in the show notes, but it's on Amazon Prime for free. So anybody can watch it. Katie Couric was involved. It is truly the most telling and fascinating, and really to anybody that isn't quite getting like why there's such an obesity epidemic, it really explains, you know, the business behind food in this country, how even our government supports big food industry, mm-hmm. for lack of a better way of you know, explaining it. And it was really sad too, because they showed several different families who had kids, you know, anywhere from 8 or 9 all the way up to, you know, 13, 14, 16, getting gastric bypass surgery.
Oh my gosh.
And they're trying to, these kids are, you know, crying, and they're so heavy, and they're trying to diet. And I mean, I'm trying to think about myself at 11 being on a diet and being told to work out. And some of these, they're so heavy. And then they showed what they were eating, and they showed the parents, and the parents are like, well, this is what we get. And it's healthy cereal. And they showed them, you know, every single one of them for breakfast was having like cereal with skim milk and a lot of it, huge bowl of it. And then a lot of bread, like, and they were packing them peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for lunch. And they were showing, you know, how our school systems are set up to give kids, you know, crappy food and not low portions, right? Like chili and pizza and cheeseburgers and cheesesteaks. It really takes a lot of knowledge. And I mean, that's part of, I feel like my small part is podcast, getting information out there to wake people up. But I'm with you. When I look around, and I'm in Texas, I can't tell you how many times we see it in the grocery store. And it's like kids that are 5 or 6 years old. And I feel like they look like they weigh 75 pounds already.
Yes.
And maybe it's closer to 100. I don't know. But just, I never saw that growing up. I never, never saw lots of fat kids. And I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm not saying that to be judgmental. It's
right.
I mean, like literally very fat, very overweight kids like I do today. It makes me sad, but that's part of this mission. We can
right.
Keep talking.
And I totally understand how easy it is to run through a drive-thru, because just in the 8 months that I've been a mom, like, I understand how much your time is limited and how much your time is precious. And especially since I'm a working mom, because I have a corporate job and I also have a at-home business, and your time it's cut by more than half when you have a kid. And so I used to be, you know, really regimented about meal prep and meal planning and grocery shopping. And I had a system, and then kids break all that. So, and I can only imagine, you know, when my baby gets older and we start throwing sports in the mix and after school activities and how on the go we're going to be. But that's where you have to make a decision. If you're going to just stop at a drive-thru, or you're going to pick up pizza or whatever, or if you're going to plan your meals in advance and have something ready when you get home so you don't have to succumb to going through the drive-thru. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. It's a decision. And I understand that time is limited, and I understand the excuse, I don't have time, because I hear it all the time. But you make time for what's important to you. And that goes with anything in life. And if being healthy and feeding your kids nutritious meals and setting them up for success in the future is important to you, then you'll make time for it.
It's so true. I mean, what you just said, I realized more so in my business life, but it's also because I'm doing this simple practice of, and those of you listening might be going, oh my God, she's just figuring this out. But sometimes it takes a while for those of, I have been horrible at time management for so long. And I was constantly this person who my good friend Hannah put up a post one time. She goes, there's a big difference between being busy and being productive. And I've been that person that's been busy for years, but not as productive as I wanted to be. And as
yes.
I started making a list every day when I come into my office, and I'm getting better about making that earlier. My goal is to make it the night before. So I'm getting there, but I make a list when I sit down and I say, what are the things that have to be done today? And I divide them up into short, you know, these are the things that are going to take 2 or 3 minutes. These are the things take a medium amount of time. These are the longer, but what are the things that I absolutely want to get done today? And instead of making it an all-inclusive list, it's just that. But I found myself saying, wow, it is amazing when I fine-tune what has to get done today, I get it done. It doesn't mean I always like finish when I want, but just what you said, what is important to you, you will make time for. And if you put down as your priorities, like I want to do yoga every day and you schedule it, then you will make time for it. But if you don't schedule it and you don't make it a priority, you're not going to do it. And it's the same thing with food. If that is important to you and you realize how important nutrition is, you will make paying attention to it a priority. It doesn't mean it has to overwhelm your life.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So, all right. So you're at the doctor. We're finishing your fitness story. You're at the doctor. And was that when you decided to kind of take things into your own hands? Is that what happened?
Yeah, that was it. Because her answer wasn't good enough for me. I wasn't going to settle for genetics. And if that was the case, then that was the case. But I was going to try my best to lose weight and see if I could bring my own blood pressure down without relying on medicine. So I took the pills for a little while just so I could eliminate the headaches and function, you know. But I started down this road of, you know, what we all used to do, you know, the fad diets, quick fixes, you know, low carb, all this kind of stuff. And I lost weight initially, but you know, when you do the fad stuff, you plateau. Right. And so it was then around, I guess it was around 2013 that I found Beachbody. And that completely changed my life because I learned how to do portion control. I learned how to work out at home because I was one of those people that was really shy growing up. I never played sports. I was just intimidated to do anything in front of anyone. So I never went to the gym. And when I found at-home workouts that I could do in my living room or in my bedroom with just some dumbbells and a TV, I was all about it. Mm-hmm. And I did those for about a year, 2 years maybe, and I got down to my lowest weight.
Wow.
And I was in super tip-top shape. And, you know, then after that, I met my husband and, you know, happy eating and all that.
That's so funny the way.
So, you know, but still, I was able to maintain a healthy weight. And then I got pregnant and I gained 25 pounds with him, which is not terrible, I don't think.
I was going to say, a lot of people are 20 pounds and they haven't had a pregnancy.
But, I've been able to lose that. And I'm actually below pre-pregnancy and I'm almost back down to my lowest that I was back in 2014. So, that home program's work. I mean, I knocked them for a while and I know people knock them and think you have to go work out for an hour at the gym, but, they've been great for me. So
I have been a beach, but first of all, I've been a fan of working out from home. That's how I got started working out because I didn't even, you know, I think like many people, I was very intimidated about going to a gym and the thought of, you know, I thought immediately I couldn't afford a trainer, all of that kind of stuff. So I've worked out from home and I still do. Now it's funny because I don't know what I like better. You know, I get just as much, I love my workouts that I do from home just as much as I love working out with a trainer and going to the gym. But I started, I don't know when I was first exposed to Beachbody, but the diversity of products that they have and the training is extensive. And it's funny because you and I, when we first connected, I was asking you, you know, do they still have this? Do they still have this? And I mean, it's a hard plug here because you should know this, Rachel. I think 75 to 80% of our audience, when we've polled them, the people that have participated, say they work out at home. And so for those of you that don't know, how much is it for like Beachbody On Demand?
For a year, it's only $99.
Yeah. So for $99, I mean, I think some of the best programs out there for those of you that work out at home, I think Beachbody On Demand is a no-brainer to pay $99. So when you do that, you have what, all their workouts?
Yes, everything from like old school P90X, Insanity, up to the newest releases that we have. So if you like to lift weights, there are tons of strength training programs on there. That's my jam. I hate is cardio with passion. Yes, Body Beast is on there.
That's one of my, like that is, and I don't want to say the others aren't, but that is legit kick-ass training. I mean, and I also did P90X in the beginning. I've done Insanity. I love Turbo Fire. I don't do as much cardio as I used to. So, and I've always loved Shaun T. I just don't do, for me, that much cardio for that much of a longer time. But I think more of his later stuff has been shorter workouts, which is great because everybody knows the benefit of HIIT training. But yeah, I would definitely say, and I'm happy giving this a hard plug because I've used the stuff. So I would say for those of you that work out from home, this is definitely a no-brainer in my opinion. Of course, you can reach out to Rachel after the show and ask questions. I also think that actually that's not for working out at home. I was going to recommend like the Transform app. Actually, you can. Transform app is also a good thing. And I've also bought videos and I have streaming from Kathy Friedrich. But if you think Beachbody's $100 a year, not to cut on Kathy, but her program's $20 a month. So there's all kinds of stuff you can do and not spend a lot of money and work out at home. And you also don't have to, for those of you that are new, you don't have to have like a whole gym set up. Like what do you have at home, Rachel, to work out with?
So before Grayson was born, I had this awesome gym set up in the basement. But then when he was born, that just wasn't possible to go down there anymore. So I stay upstairs and I have the adjustable dumbbells. And then I have just some like 8s, 12s and 20s. And I just have those in the corner and I have a mat that I use for core work and that's it.
That's awesome. Just saying that for everybody. So I will link up because one of the best purchases I ever did was get those Bowflex adjustable weights. The only negative I can say about them is like if you want to use 225-pound weights to do like deadlifts, they're bulky when you're doing things like that. But you know, to be able to do squats and hold a heavy weight for, you know, pullovers, stuff like that, it's great. But, you know, for everybody listening, if you're just thinking about, you know, starting a home gym and working out from home, you know, stores like, I would actually suggest Walmart more than Target. I know Target has, I mean, we all love Target, but in my experience, Walmart has more of a selection for home weights for working out at home. Just putting that out there.
They do. And when I started back in, you know, 2013, I didn't have anything. And I went to Walmart and just bought, I think I bought a set of 8s and a set of 10s. And that's literally all I had. And that's all I needed for the first couple of programs until, I built up my strength to need bigger weight. I mean, the adjustable dumbbells were a more recent purchase, but you don't need them. And if you don't like to lift, and you just want to do a cardio program, you don't need to go buy anything. Exactly. You can do a 20-minute workout, cardio workout, and be done. And you can get that done when your baby's taking a nap, you know? So there's no excuse not to get it done.
Exactly. Well, before we start talking a little bit about business, because a perfect segue, you know, the way that you make additional income in addition to your corporate job is through Beachbody. So we're going to talk about that in a second. But you know, being a new mom, you shared your fitness story and you've shared that, you know, obviously you've gotten to a place where you fit in fitness, you make it a priority, you make eating right a priority, and you still enjoy your life, you know, game day with your husband, all of that kind of stuff. What based on your experience in people who are your, you know, Beachbody customers and just people who are friends and whatnot, what would you say and speak to the new moms out there or the moms that are, you know, pregnant now that are thinking, oh my God, like, how am I going to get this weight off? What do you think are the three top tips? Because to me, one of the biggest get back to basics, most alarming aha moments I've had in the past couple of weeks, and people know what's coming, is the importance of just the basic caloric deficit. You know, and that's like one of, it sounds like, well, duh, but people don't focus on that. They just keep thinking, oh, I want to lose weight, I'll go keto. Oh, I want to lose weight, I'll go paleo. Oh, I'll just eat Whole30 and then they eat too much. So what are the things that for you getting your body back into shape after being a baby, like what were your top three things that were a focus? Was it a certain amount of work? I'm not going to feed you any ideas. What were your top tips that will help you to really get fit and that can help new moms?
So you nailed it, Kelly. Like we've made it overcomplicated, you know, and I'm guilty of it because I used to count macros and, you know, I tracked everything I ate and down to the certain number of macros a day. And it just, it gets hard doing that. And it kind of, if you don't watch it, it becomes like
obsessive.
Yeah. You can't think about anything else and you can't go out to eat and enjoy a meal with your family because you're going to go over your carbs for the day or something like that. So, what I did, and I'll be honest, it scared me a little bit when we started talking about having kids. Like I was terrified because it took me so long to lose that 45 pounds and it was so hard to maintain it. Mm. You know, it scared me to gain it back. But the thing is, you've got to keep it in check. You've got to get your mindset right. It's more of a mindset thing than it is anything else. You've got to know why you're doing it. And that's what I tell all my clients. Like, you've got to have a bigger why than looking good in a bikini or being able to wear your skinny jeans. Like, vanity will only get you so far. You've got to have a bigger why. You've got to want to be around to watch your son graduate high school or to be around to play with your grandkids. Like you've got to have that in focus. So that was my thing. Like when I was pregnant, I tried to fuel my body with foods that were good for my baby because I didn't want to put anything harmful in myself that was going to harm him. So I will say I had my share of popcorn and nachos when I was pregnant because I just wanted all the carbs.
Who doesn't? I'm not pregnant and I want carbs all the time.
My favorite food ever is peanut butter, and the whole first trimester it made me nauseous. So those first few months are survival mode for sure. And I went and had bagels from Starbucks for breakfast because I couldn't tolerate any kind of protein powder.
That's funny.
So you're in survival mode. But once you get past that, you've got to just think, you know, am I fueling my body with nutritious foods for me and for my baby? And then to get my body back, I did the same thing that you just said. It's a caloric deficit. And if you're breastfeeding, you know, you have to take that into consideration. But you have to keep your calories up for that. But if you're, you know, trying to wean away or you can still do a caloric deficit even when you're breastfeeding, you just don't eat as much as you did when you're pregnant. You just eat maintenance mode. And then afterwards we start doing caloric deficit and you don't have to do like this drastic drop of calories. You can slowly start cutting back and see results. Mm-hmm. And I tell my clients all the time, like, your diet is 80% and your workouts are only 20. You cannot outwork a bad diet. So I got really frustrated when I got cleared to work out again. Cause you know, I'm like, I'm going to just pick everything back up and be able to do it. And I couldn't. Yoga was hard. Like I started off with yoga and it was hard for me, like the stretches, and I couldn't hold the poses as long as I could before. And I got a little bit frustrated, but then I just had to think, you know, this is a process. You're not supposed to get your body back immediately. And that even goes for anybody that hasn't been pregnant. It's a process. When you decide to make that decision that you're going to be a better you and be a healthier you, it's a lifestyle change. It's not some quick fix. You start one and you go one day at a time. And if you mess up, you just don't do it again tomorrow. You know, you get back on the horse and you keep going. Because
I think that really could be, you know, I don't know if you were going to say that was one of your, like your other number three, but I truly want to call attention to that because for me, I know in particular, and so many women will relate to that. It's very hard when when you're hard on yourself and you're insecure as I've been, about how you look and about being overweight or over the weight you want to be, right? It's very hard to not look at yourself as I'm not good enough until I reach my goal. And so yet you want to shorten that time between where you are now and that goal. And basically you're unconsciously saying, I'm not going to live until I get to that goal. I'm not going to go out. Like for me, I didn't want to date anybody. I didn't want to meet anybody. I didn't want to go out socially. I didn't want to buy new outfits. I didn't want to go on vacation because I didn't want to wear a bikini. I didn't want to do anything. Right. And when you set such overwhelming high expectations of achieving perfection and achieving perfection overnight, the stress, you're going to stress yourself out. You're going to jack your cortisol up and mm-hmm. you're going to not enjoy life. And trust me, I mean, when I think back to how much of my life I missed over the past 10 years, because I was a workaholic and somebody who was just shaming myself all the time.
Hey, everybody, you've reached the end of part one of this two-part interview with Rachel King. Make sure you tune into part two.